Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Well, with both Masses today, either that of the Shroud of our Lord or the Lenten Mass for the day, we find ourselves faced with some pretty gruesome details in the Mass text. Of course, with our Lord, he is crucified and he is wrapped in the linen cloth which Joseph of Arimathea buys for him, and to place him as well in his own tomb that he had purchased for himself. But then when we look to the Lenten Mass, what do we see? In the gospel of that Mass, it is about the workers of the vineyard who, seeing the son of the winemaker, and are jealous of him, and they realize, because you know much of this is going to be hidden, they could steal his inheritance away from him. And so they cast him off and they kill him out of view of the head of the entire vineyard. And then we see in the epistle the story of Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, not the foster father of our Lord Joseph, or even Arimathea. There's a lot of Josephs these days. But the Joseph of the Old Testament and his story, in which he has dreams. And he dreams, and he lets his brothers know of his dreams, in which he sees them bowing down, they're all gathering sheaves, and they bow down before his sheaf. And then later on, he has a dream about them bowing to worship him with the moon and the stars. And he passes these along, and his brothers, they are very envious of him, because they see these things and they think, we are the older siblings, we are the older brothers to you, and what's this? You little runt, you're going to have us bow down to us? What, are you supposed to be our king? Well, how is this supposed to be? And they find themselves getting very annoyed at having to spend time with Joseph, so they sort of ditch him and leave him on his own. And then yet he still goes and finds his brothers, and when they see him coming from afar off, they're so fed up with him that they decide they want to be rid of him altogether. And so what do? They are about to kill him, and then Reuben has sort of like the supreme Jewish idea that they can get away with not killing him by not killing him, but also probably have him die anyways. If they pretend to kill him, throw him in a deep well, and leave him to just sort of die of natural causes. And so that's what they do. They throw him in the well. And this goes past what the end of the epistle is, where they actually take him, throw him in the well, and then they take his coat, that was a very special coat and a gift from their father, and they cover it in the blood of one of the animals to make it look like he got attacked by a beast. And they bring it back to the father, and the father realizes that his son is dead because he has the cloth, he has the coat soaked in blood. What he doesn't know, of course, is that Joseph is alive, is at the bottom of the well, and we know how the rest of the story goes. Eventually he's found, he's brought to Egypt, he becomes sort of the right-hand man of the Pharaoh, and eventually when the drought comes, his prophecies come true, because his brothers find themselves before him, bowing down before him, and begging for the food that they need to survive. Those two stories, the one of the man in the vineyard who is killed and Joseph who is thought to be killed but is not, are precursors of our Lord. They are that representation of, as it says, the cornerstone which has been rejected. That the chosen people in any of those, the parable or in the story of Joseph, that they have before them one who is actually good, one who is actually gifted by God, and they turn away from him for their own needs. They're jealous, they're angry, they're they're petty about silly things, they're annoyed by him, whatever it may be, and they decide it'd just be better to get rid of him altogether. And so they do so, and they even go as far as I say, taking the cloak that Joseph has and covering it in blood to make it look as if he'd been attacked by an animal. And then we come to our Lord and we find what? Exactly the same thing. He is all good. He is God, of course. He is the Messiah come. And he's come and he's preaching to and he's there to save the chosen people. And what happens? They, through their own weakness, their own envy, and their own pettiness, and their own threats to that, just like the brothers did, said to Joseph, what, are you supposed to be our king now? We're supposed to bow down before you? The same thing with the Pharisees. What, are you supposed to be our king? Are we supposed to listen to you and people stop listening to us and we lose our influence? We'll teach you. And so they do. They take our Lord, the cornerstone, the very pinnacle of the foundation, the very rock upon which all of goodness is built off of, and they reject it. They toss our Lord away. And in the end, he is crucified and he dies. And they take a cloth and they wrap it around him, and it becomes soaked with his blood. And that remains to us today as a great relic. It's in the city of Turin. But, like Joseph, who came up out of the well and was to save his own brothers from dying of hunger in the drought, our Lord, he rises up as well, and he sheds off of that wrapping shroud that he is in, the cloth that is stained with his own blood, and he goes and he is risen again amongst them, and he opens up the gates of heaven to save those very people who have put him to death, save them in a time of real spiritual drought which has been going on for thousands of years because of original sin that has come into the world. He finally opens up the storage of grace, heaven itself, and he pours it out upon them generously. And he is the good king that they didn't realize they needed so much. He is that king of heaven, the king of grace, the king of salvation, the true savior of them. But it starts with their rejection. And it culminates with good being returned for evil. Out of pride, they have rejected the cornerstone. And out of goodness and godliness, that who has been rejected turns around and does good in return. That is what Joseph does. That is what our Lord does. And that is our lesson to take from it. That we are always capable of following our Lord in virtue. We do so by doing the things that imitate him, the good things, the charitable, loving things, even when we have been completely rejected. And so we learn from that. We put our own cloth around it, that cloth that represents our own giving of ourselves, that little bit of our own investiture into the action. It costs us a little bit, but in the end, the return will be eternal. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.